This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Coming up, you'll hear an interview we recorded Wednesday with Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear, focusing on a wide range of topics, including redistricting, tolls to pay for a replacement for the Brent Spence Bridge, and the state's 2014 U.S. Senate race. Right now, we continue our conversation about homelessness in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. Our guests are Georgine Getty, who's the Executive Director of Interfaith Hospitality Network of Greater Cincinnati, and Lisa Damaris, who's the Executive Director of Family Promise of Northern Kentucky. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. And we have a call from Bob in Lawrenceburg. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much. First, I just want to commend both of these agencies and their directors and the excellent work they do. It's unfortunate that there are insufficient resources to both provide the shelter and the other services that affiliates agencies like these give. I think that, you know, the shelters provide far more than just shelters. They are not just family shelters. They provide a lot of excellent services that build the capacity of the families to get back on their feet, and they link them to housing. You know, it's a great benefit to the family, but it's also a great benefit to the community. So it's money well invested by the community and by donors. So I wonder if Georgine and Lisa could speak more to what they do to get the families back into housing.
Georgine.
All right, thank you. One of the main things that families who are experiencing homelessness need is case management services. And case management, it sounds big and complicated, but it's just a series of small steps. It can be as simple as getting a photo ID so that you can apply for a job, so that you can have an income to pay for the apartment. In addition to that, I wanted to point out that 90% of the families that we served last year did exit our doors for stable housing. And system-wide, of all the family shelters, less than 15% of the families we serve ever return to homelessness. So those services are a key part in helping families find stability and maintain that stability.
And I would agree. I think that our statistics are similar. About 83.5% of the families that graduated from our shelter last year graduated to housing, and 70.8% graduated with income. But trying to get to those milestones is definitely a struggle. We struggle with helping people who have high school educations or possibly not even that high, in terms of their educational attainment, to get jobs. And we struggle with the issue of corporations who typically would like to hire people on as temp employees versus permanent employees. And we understand the other side of that. The corporation obviously is making an investment and they need to protect that. But it's really difficult to get people to the employment mark and to the housing mark, and it's a struggle.
Bob, we appreciate your call. Jennifer, who called earlier with a question about the PET call back in, and she wanted us to clarify, is there any place a person can stay with the PET where they're not separated, to your knowledge?
Currently, no, unfortunately.
Okay. We also have Mike on the line from Walnut Hills. Mike, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm thinking about the church I belong to, Bellarmine Chapel at Xavier, and I know they're part of the Interfaith Hospitality Network. I'm not exactly sure what churches do with the Interfaith Hospitality Network, whether they host families in their homes or how that works. And for good people listening who are concerned about homelessness, do you need sponsor households? And are there laws that we need to be concerned about if we host a family? Or is there a certain number of people per bedroom that you require, or what do you really need to help solve this problem?
Georgine.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the question. The way that the Interfaith Hospitality Network works and the Family Promise model is that the families during the day are at our day centers receiving the professional services that the last caller was talking about. And then at 5 o'clock every night, they get on a bus and they go to a host congregation. And the congregations actually open up usually converted Sunday school rooms, and the families stay at the church or synagogue. And then the volunteers provide meals and the overnight support that the families need to feel comfortable. And then every morning they come back to us at the day center. Bellarmine is a wonderful – they're a support congregation for one of the host congregations. So anyone who belongs to a congregation that thinks they have the space to host four families four times a year is welcome to contact us. Or if you don't have that space, you can do what Bellarmine does, which is provide volunteers and meals to help the families during another congregation's host week. I don't recommend taking homeless families into your home for the professional services aspect of it that we just mentioned. A lot of times our case managers will have access to resources and housing programs that sort of your average citizen doesn't have. So it's better to connect with an existing agency and put that support into action that way.
How many churches are involved in hosting
IHN of Cincinnati? We've got 27 host congregations and 66 support congregations.
And in Kentucky, we have 10 host congregations and 35 support at this time.
Now, with the family issue, I'm assuming if you have a mom and dad and children, I'm assuming that you do all you can to try to keep them all together?
Absolutely.
And isn't that part of the challenge, though, to try to keep them all together?
Well, I think the families want to stay together.
I mean, finding a shelter, though, that would take them as one complete family.
And that's the beauty of the IHN Family Promise model, is that because the families have private sleeping quarters at the congregation, they can stay together. Some of the other family shelters are more congregate living, where you might have three or four families sharing a room, and so that's less conducive to having dads around.
How much of this falls on resources? I know that I believe the city of Cincinnati uses some funding from community development block grants to fund homeless issues, and those funds have been cut. So at a time when you're seeing the needs increase, you're also seeing funding to help pay for these programs decrease.
And we've been seeing a steady erosion of the general operating fund as well. It used to be that human service agencies got 1.5% of the general fund, and that has decreased significantly over the past years. And the CDBG funding, I'm not entirely sure about that, but I do know that that's not going towards family shelters.
There's a agency in Hamilton County. It's called Strategies to End Homelessness, and it was formerly known as the it's a mouthful, Cincinnati Hamilton County Continuum of Care for the Homeless. Tell me what Strategies — I think you said that your organization works with Strategies. Define what they do.
They do a lot of different things. Primarily, they're the way that federal and state and city funding goes to the actual homeless shelters. So they're sort of an umbrella organization that has the oversight and knows where all the moving pieces are. But another thing they do is operate the central access point, which is the phone number 381-SAFE that all homeless families call when they're seeking shelter. So the CAP line is able to route families to the shelter that can best serve their needs. They also can cover prevention services and do some work with single shelter or single homeless individuals.
Did you want to add something about?
Yeah, I think that their work is remarkable, and it's extremely well done and very efficient. Unfortunately, we're not quite there yet on the Northern Kentucky side. What's happening for families is they are contacting the shelters individually in order to gain some assistance. So it's definitely an area that I think we could, as an organization that's covering primarily Boone, Kenton, and Campbell counties, could do better in terms of modeling after the CAP line. I think that would help our clients better. One of the things you mentioned was the reductions in funding, and I'd like to comment on one area that's specifically hitting Kentucky, and that is the reduction in funding of child care vouchers. And when we are working very hard to get families back on their feet and get moms and dads employed, childcare becomes an integral piece of that puzzle. And without that kind of funding, what happens is we have one or two parents who are not able to have their children taken care of in a safe environment and therefore not able to overcome some of the barriers that we're trying to help them overcome. So there are other funding areas, not only for homelessness, but sort of auxiliary services that impact the success of our families.
Let's work in another phone call here. Jerry is calling us from Northside. Jerry, go ahead. You're on Cincinnati yeah. Edition.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is this. I know with individuals, whether it's a single mom with a child or a single father, that sometimes when they go into a shelter, that the process of getting housing vouchers can take, the waiting list can be up to a year. And the paradox of it is you have to be homeless to apply for the voucher. And after the period of time that goes by, even if it's a year, when your turn comes up, you still need to be homeless in order to receive the benefits. Is this complicated by keeping families together, and is there anything? I can imagine this is tremendously frustrating for your caseworkers and those trying to help out these families.
You were both shaking your head yes. So, Lisa, I'll let you go first this time.
It's complicated. It's frustrating. And you can imagine 1 year is an awful long time period. Georgine and I are providers of services of emergency shelter. We are not set up, nor are we funded, to hold families for a year waiting to get housing. And so what it forces us to do is look at other ways to house people. I can say in the Northern Kentucky area, we do go through the process. We do have people fill out the paperwork for the vouchers for housing. But honestly, most of our families are working very hard and graduating to market rate.
I would say the same thing. If somebody is on the waiting list for like a CMHA voucher, we definitely explore other options for them because the wait is just too long. But luckily, there is something called the rapid rehousing model, which aims to get families out within 2 weeks and put them into an apartment of their choice and then continue to offer services while they're in their apartment. So that's a great option.
Jerry, we appreciate your phone call. Just a couple of real quick questions here before we run out of time. What does this do to a child's education in this situation? I can imagine that it's stressful, but how do you deal with that?
Well, in Cincinnati, we are really blessed to have two organizations, Project Connect and Faces Without Places, and both of them work to keep kids in their school of origin. So within 24 hours of a family entering shelter, our kids are going back to the school that they were going to before they came to shelter. So that's been great.
Please.
And actually, Faces Without Places is helping us as well. They've helped us with a summer camp program, which is truly a benefit to us in Northern Kentucky. I think that there are issues, though, that people might not be aware of. According to the Institute for Children in Poverty, homeless children are 9 times more likely to repeat a grade, 4 times more likely to drop out of school, and 3 times more likely to be placed in special education programs. So while we do have some support groups out there helping us, the issue is fairly dramatic and can really affect children long term.
Georgine, real quickly, in just a few seconds, if somebody wants to help out, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call me at 513-471-1100. I'm at extension 13 or ihncincinnati.org.
We've been talking about homelessness in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky and the increasing number of families who are homeless. Our guests were Georgine Getty, who's the executive director of Interfaith Hospitality Network of Greater Cincinnati, and Lisa Damaris, who's the executive director of Family Promise of Northern Kentucky. Coming up, an interview with Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.